When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
If you're thinking, I should go for a run today, but it looks like it could rain, Sierra says save on epic rain jackets. If you're also thinking, but I can't go out in these beat-up old running shoes, Sierra says save on top-brand running shoes. And if you're still thinking, but I'm also busy performing brain surgery, well, then we say, you really should have led with that. Sierra, let's get moving to your local store, like now. Go!
Hi, I'm going to whisper some things to you now about Crunch chocolate bars. Because apparently this whispering thing is a thing that makes you feel things. It's saying something crunchy is coming in the candy wrapper language. Imagine your tongue hiking up those crispy, rocky ridges. Now, drum roll please.
Wow, that's good. Crunchy, munchy chocolate doesn't whisper.
Turn up the fun with Crunch.
This edition of the BBC Music Magazine podcast is sponsored by Adagio, the leading streaming service for classical music. Discover Adagio's tailor-made search, expert playlists, and exclusive recordings for yourself. Visit podcast.adagio.com and enjoy 14 days for free.
Welcome to the BBC Music Magazine podcast. I'm the magazine's editor, Oliver Condy. So here's a quick reminder first about our website at classical-music.com, where you can read all about the latest music news, read reviews of thousands of recordings, and enjoy our free download of the week, and much more. We're on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and we have an iPad edition. Phew, and to keep abreast of what's happening, sign up to our newsletter via the website. Most importantly, the Christmas issue is out now. Happy Christmas, which brings me to our special discount for podcast listeners. All of you can now get 30% off. Yes, that's 30% off every six issues, which takes the cost to just £25.15. And you can claim the offer by visiting buysubscriptions.com/musicpodcast. Finally, sign up to our newsletter via the website for all the latest goings on. Right, time to get on with the show.
The BBC Music Magazine Podcast.
So with me for our special Christmas celebration podcast episode are reviews editor Michael Beek and editorial assistant Freya Parr.
Hello.
So, indeed, it's time for music news. Freya, what's been going on in the music world?
So, as is typical at this time of year, it's been the Young Chorister of the Year competition on Radio 2. And this year, the winners were 15-year-old Amelia Jakes from North Yorkshire and 12-year-old Cassian Pickler-Rocker from Gloucestershire. Quite the mouthful. And they both sang really beautifully. I'd really recommend going onto the BBC Sounds app and website to listen to clips of those. And the full episode is still available, I believe. And they will go on to record with the BBC Philharmonic, sing on BBC Radio across the coming months, and also appear on our disc, our cover CD, next May. So you can definitely listen to a full selection of their music then.
Yes, it's just been recorded, actually. So, yes, there's an arrangement of wonderful bits and pieces. You'll be able to... It's actually wonderful that Radio 2, is joining this sort of celebration of choral music, actually, because Radio 2, obviously, think of it as a pop music station, but it does have this sort of cultural... it's one of the longest-standing programmes in the world. Friday night is Music Night.
Absolutely.
And, used to be the Organist Entertains, and they had the classical music programme. Radio 2 is, it's nice to see that diversity across the stations, I think.
Definitely, it's important.
Yeah, it was a lovely programme. Everyone sang incredibly well, but those two winners were unbelievable. They sang, Amelia sang a programme of Stainer and Handel, And she actually was a losing finalist last year, so it was nice to see her do really well. And Cassian sang John Dankworth and the hymn Christ Triumphant, and it's definitely worth a listen.
Something to look forward to next year. Michael, what's been happening for you?
Well, I do love a study, as we all know, and my latest study is by Universal Music Group. They have been listening to Bach quite a lot ahead of their giant box set, which is actually reviewed in our current issue, the Christmas issue. Their study is about how Bach's music is getting quicker in all the recordings. So if you listen to a recording of Bach made, you know, 30, 40 years ago, it will naturally be quite slower than a recording made like this year or in the last decade. And actually, as the decades move on, the recordings are getting quicker and quicker. Mm. And they've sort of proven this with various examples. I'd like to prove this with some examples. So our first clip is going to be from an Otto Klemperer recording from the 1960s of the St. Matthew Passion.
Very slow.
Very slow. So let's have a listen to that. Okay, and our second clip is from the same piece from the St. Matthew Passion, the opening chorus, this time recorded in the 1980s by John Elliott Gardner.
So actually only 20 years of separating the two.
Only 20 years, mm-hmm. And it's yet markedly quicker.
Yeah.
There we are. And our third example is from the 2003 recording by Paul McCreesh and the Gabrielli. And this is quicker again. So we have three examples of the same piece, which are quite obviously getting quicker as the years go by, and I think that's absolutely fascinating.
It is. I mean, there's a sort of real aesthetic to the Klemperer one, isn't there? The mm-hmm. sense of mournfulness, the anticipation of the crucifixion. You know, there's a real definitely sort of literal introduction there, and it's really interesting to see how the music changes character when it becomes quicker.
Definitely.
I mean, it really becomes a piece that's imbued with hope and dance. I mean, it's a dancing. It's in 6/8. It's actually got a bit of a movement to
definitely
it.
Definitely, much more sprightly. And Víkingur Ólafsson, the pianist who is recording of the month for the Christmas issue, also talks about this, and he says that he thinks Bach now generally sounds quite different now from 30 years ago, and he thinks actually his music is contemporary rather than classical, which I think is again another fascinating
yeah, I
sort of way
why
to look at it.
Sort of happens because it's that argument again of people getting slightly more impatient or audiences wanting a bigger impact. There's always that argument with pop music that the introductions are getting shorter to the point that actually often exactly. they don't even have any.
Where
does something like Bohemian Rhapsody even be successful nowadays? Yeah. It's interesting to see it kind of crossing over.
Well, I think St. Matthew Passion is still a couple of hours long. I don't think you're going to have it fitting on one side of an LP anytime soon.
No,
it's true. But no, I think it's a really fascinating study.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to talk about very briefly about the good news that Antonio Pappano has signed up to another 5 years at the Royal Opera House after being on for about 16 years. He's been there. I mean, absolutely incredible work that he does, not only there but also at the orchestra over in Rome, his Santa Cecilia Orchestra, but it's, you know, the Opera House really forms a core of what he does, and he's such a personable individual. I mean, whenever I've met him, he's always sort of eager to talk about and discuss and enthuse about his work, and it's so refreshing that a major artist like that is so open about what he does, and singers love working with him. Absolutely,
yeah.
This is good news. But we return to Universal, actually, for our first Christmas gift of this month's podcast, which is the Pavarotti set, which caught my eye, actually. This is a set of... it's called the Pavarotti Art Case, and it's a wooden case which incorporates a digital player, some paintbrushes, some paint. Pavarotti was an artist, as well as a singer, obviously. This extraordinary piece of furniture has been made by David Lindley, and I think only about 8 to 10 of them are being made. And if you want one, you're going to have to fork out £84,000. However, only £84,000. And I hope they wrap it. And so there are going to be limited edition prints of his paintings in this. Obviously, his entire recordings, and there's going to be recordings that have been dug up from the Universal, from the Decca catalogue, and you know, remastered and all that kind of stuff. But you also get to fly out to Modena for a. It says in the blurb, a white glove service. Money can't buy dining experience from Pavarotti's own chef at the residence in Modena.
A chef?
I don't think it's Pavarotti's own chef is still functioning, I think, providing these experiences. So yes, I mean, if you've got deep pockets, then by all means get in there quick, because
have you seen any of his paintings? I haven't.
No. Any good?
I think so. I think they're okay. I don't think he's any Picasso, but I think he's...
What's secondary to other things?
Yeah, I think it's...
Singer, though.
Yeah, he's all right. He got by.
So that's just an extraordinary thing. I mean, it's going to be made from, you know, fumed, figured eucalyptus and walnut veneers and all sorts of things. The score to Nessun Dorma has been sort of etched on the side. It's rather extravagant.
Yes, so. Quite.
So with that, brings us to the end of our music news. So it's me again, I'm afraid. You've got the Christmas issue with our main story, the celebration of 100 years of Nine Letters and Carols from King's College, Cambridge. So to kick us off, we're going to hear a 1963 version of the Sussex Carol under the baton of David Wilcox. What's interesting about that is they do perform that work a lot faster these days. So there's another example of music getting quicker over the years. So actually, that's quite pedestrian in my view. You hear if they perform that again this year, I can't remember whether they are or not. But you know, it's one that comes out with regularity, and I think it's at least, you know, five or six notes on the metronome, a little bit.
It's just
faster.
Brilliant, fascinating.
Yeah. So what we've done is we've gone over to Cambridge. We sent Richard Morrison over to Cambridge to talk to Stephen Clearbury. His final. Nine Lessons and Carols, the 100th Nine Lessons and Carols from King's College, Cambridge. I mean, such an institution. Mm-hmm. When they first began back in 1918 doing this service, you know, the choir was not regarded as one of the finest in Cambridge, let alone the world.
Yeah.
And a succession of choral directors have turned the choir around into this iconic ensemble. I mean, it really is. And this is such a fascinating document, both of performance practice, but also of the longevity of this is fascinating service. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that the appeals to everyone, from people who are very much devoted to the Christian message, to anyone who just loves incredible music making at Christmas time.
Definitely.
I think it's part of everyone's Christmas, really. Even if you're not there, everyone watches it on the telly the night before. And gets it's sort of signals that point at which Christmas is very much underway.
Oh, definitely. And there was I saw a fascinating story about prisoners of war in the Second World War who recreated the Nine Lessons of Carols for their own sort of mini Christmas in the camp. And I just thought that was just brilliant.
Yeah. What's fantastic about it is that it is this mix of carols and readings, and it's a real catch-all service. Mm. I mean, it's more of a festival than a service. But so that's the celebration in the magazine. Michael, you're going to talk about an interview you did with the wonderful Welsh baritone, Mr. Bryn Terfel.
Absolutely. I won't try and do his voice, but we had a really lovely chat on the phone, and he's a really great, great guy to chat to. And this was for Rewind, which is in our Christmas issue. And we talked, obviously, about three recordings of his from over the years. And he shared some really great insights into his early recording career and the sort of the naivety, if you like, of sort of bursting onto that recording scene. You know, whether it was arriving in Rome for a few days of recording, not actually feeling very well, and probably should have gone home, he said, but didn't and carried on, to his very first recording, which was with Dame Joan Sutherland and Luciano Pavarotti, and turning up at the hotel and finding them drinking tea in the garden and just sort of getting stuck in and having tea with them, and how bizarre that was. And you can just imagine it. But yeah, it's a great little interview in the current issue. And he's obviously got a new disc out as well, Dreams and Songs, which is sort of a quite light collection of encores, if you like, perfect for this time of year. And here's a clip from one of those. It's Trees, which is a lovely song.
I think that I shall never see a poem lovely as a tree. A tree whose hungry mouth is blessed.
Now, Bryn can turn anything into gold, can't he?
Absolutely.
Wonderful voice.
I like to think he's singing about Christmas trees there
yes,
as well.
Yes, love it.
But yes, that was Bryn Terfel with the Czech Philharmonic and Paul Bateman conducting.
Freya, what have we got in the magazine that you can talk about?
So this was one of my favourite features from this month because we were all involved and it involves one of my favourite pastimes, which is reading. So we were all given two novels each about composers, some significantly better than others. Michael was quite lucky. He got Julian Barnes's Noise of Time.
And I did.
I'm still envious
sublime.
Of that. So actually some genuinely good recommendations of great reading material that you can kick back by the fire with, or some you can actually just use as kindling. So it's kind of, it's just a really nice look at all of the random literature out there that's been written about some of our favourite composers.
So these are fictional stories about great composers. Yeah. The composers are real, the stories are not. I mean, I read one called Liszt's Kiss, which is all about Liszt in cholera-stricken Paris in the 19th century. I mean, totally fictitious. Mm. You know, Liszt basically sitting up in his garret all day drinking claret, yes. Apparently.
And not much kissing.
Well, the title does say just one kiss, and
yeah,
indeed there is just
true.
One exactly. kiss, but I don't want to, no plot spoilers, please. Yes, it's an intriguing feature.
It was really fun to do, and actually my second book, which had the ridiculous title of Vivaldi's Virgins, you would think would be absurd, but it was genuinely a good read.
Yeah, well, some of them were. I learnt loads about Hildegard von Bingen, which I had no idea about. It was slightly dry compared to some of the others. It wasn't very frothy. Hmm. But yeah, no, I learnt a lot, and actually it was very accurate. So, yes, some actually genuinely good tips.
We all need to swap now and read each other.
Yeah.
And, of course, we've got this wonderful cover CD on the magazine. Let's not forget that. So this is a recording by Wells Cathedral Choir, the girls and the boys joining the lay clerks and choral scholars. And it's just a beautiful... I mean, some of the music on the disc has been specially recorded for us this Christmas, which I'm always very proud of. There are such a beautiful choir. Matthew Owens, the choral director, is one of the finest I think this country has. Very fine composer, too. So some of his music appears on the disc. So, but let's hear the title, a little bit from the title track. It's John Rutter's Love Came Down at Christmas. So that was gorgeous. The Love Came Down at Christmas by John Rutter, sung by, indeed, sighing all the way,
yeah.
sung by the choir, girls and boys of Wells Cathedral. I really want to bring in, though, our commissioned carol. So every year we've been commissioning, for the last 5 years, we've been commissioning a carol from a composer. And we print the music, the score itself, in the magazine for you to enjoy this Christmas with your choir, or indeed next year in a concert, in a carol service. And this year we had Dobrinka Tabakova, the Bulgarian composer, who's composer in residence with the BBC Concert Orchestra. And she's done a really fantastic, rustic, almost medieval sounding Goodwill to Men and Peace on Earth. So if you can get your singing chops around that, then you're... then you have our full admiration, and we very much like to hear your performances. It's a wonderful, wonderful carol. So much richness to it, and again, very proud to have that in the magazine.
Great. Yeah, and if you've been recording or rehearsing your Christmas repertoire for your Christmas concerts, do send it in as well, because we'll be featuring a different choir each day for Advent. So my choir is actually doing two of the former BBC Music magazine commissions this year, which are much trickier than I thought initially. So
there we
that's
are.
My Christmas challenge.
Absolutely.
Fantastic.
The BBC Music Magazine Podcast.
This edition of the BBC Music Magazine Podcast is sponsored by Adagio, the leading streaming service for classical music. Discover Adagio's tailor-made search, expert playlists, and exclusive recordings for yourself. Visit podcast.adagio.com and enjoy 14 days for free.
So it's that time in the podcast when we talk about recordings we've discovered this month. Freya, you start.
Yes, so I have discovered Jean Rondeau's new album, the French harpsichordist, and he's done an album of Scarlatti sonatas, and there's a set of 15 sonatas with a sort of improvisatory interlude in the very middle that he's sort of made up, which is actually particularly lovely. But they're all very short little pieces. They're all kind of bite-sized introductions to the genius that is Scarlatti. And it's a really playful, energetic disc, and the cover as well is just adorable. It's a photo of him from when he was young that just sucked me in to begin with, and actually the content is just as good.
Wearing roller skates, isn't he?
Yeah, it's adorable. So we're going to listen to track 4 from the album, which is Scarlatti's keyboard sonata in D minor.
Meaty sound.
That hasn't woken you up.
Very busy. I loved it.
So yes, that was Scarlatti's keyboard sonata in D minor, performed by Jean Rondeau. I just think it's such a blistering interpretation. There's some more kind of reflective sonatas on the album as well, but that one sort of stuck out there.
Furious playing.
It is,
stuff. Yeah. He's actually one of a real sort of group of, along with people like Mahanis Vahani, who really sort of not just bringing the harpsichord out of the, you know, back into the limelight, but really, you know, putting their all into it, injecting it with a huge amount of passion and soul.
And,
yeah, blow the dust off.
Completely. Yeah.
Yeah, not afraid to, you know, go for it.
Definitely.
Michael, what have you got for us this month?
So I've got the debut album from the ensemble ROCO, which is the River Oaks Chamber Orchestra. And they've, in fact, been around in Houston for 12 years, so it's actually a long time between, you know, being there and doing an album, which is great. They have gathered together repertoire from their 12 seasons, and they are a great commissioning ensemble. So it's pretty much, it's all new stuff, contemporary, you know, modern composers. And I've settled on a part of a piece called Murmurations by Derek Bermel, and it's called Gliding Over Algiers, and it's completely opposite to that very busy harpsichord. It's very relaxing, very sort of evocative. Good. And beautiful.
I love the overlapping of sounds in that, actually, the way that the the lines move and ever so gently, and yet it's, yeah, there's a real sense of freedom, isn't there?
Definitely, definitely. And the whole work is stunning. And actually, the whole it's a two-disc set, and it's a great mix of stuff. I love a good sort of musical story as well, and there's a great take on Jabberwocky by another composer, and it's just brilliant to listen to. Yeah, I'm really, really impressed with this album.
Yeah, a real discovery for me as well. Fantastic. I'm going to yank us back into the Christmas season, I'm afraid, for my discovery. But actually to Advent, and I think Advent is even richer than Christmas in its pickings. You know, you've not only got the sort of sense of Adam and Eve, and you've got the Day of Judgment, and you've got the expectant Virgin Mary, and of course you've got Christmas at the end of it all. So the birth of Jesus. So the music to draw on is rich. Mm. And every single year, the choir of St John's College, Cambridge, is broadcast live on Radio 3, and it's such a beautiful service that is not as well known as the King's College, Cambridge Christmas service, but I think is equally as beautiful and equally as dramatic. So I'm going to choose a local hero, Mr David Bednall, who's one of the organists at Bristol Cathedral, and such a talented composer, influenced by many, many composers, the strongest, I think, being Herbert Howells, who I think is one of his great heroes. But anyway, here's David Bednall's Noe Noe, which finishes this disc called Advent Live, which is a collection of recordings from various Advent carol services over the years. That little slice of Advent drama brings us to the end of this month's podcast, and it just remains for us all to wish you all very, very happy Christmas, and we will see you next month when we'll be talking about the January issue. So it's goodbye from all of us.
Goodbye.
The BBC Music Magazine Podcast.